Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the Tuesday show. I'm Leanne Dolan in beautiful Pasadena, California. It is Tuesday, June 23rd. I am joined by my sister, Julie Dolan, in beautiful Dallas, Texas.
That sounds good, Leanne. Hi, Leanne. How are you today?
I'm good, Julie. I'm good. My son, Colin, got his wisdom teeth out last week, and I think we're through the worst of the pain and the swelling and the smoothie making. So I think
he's back on solid foods. At
yes.
This point. Good.
So, as I kept saying to him, at least we paid for it. I had to get all of mine out in my 20s and I had to pay for it. So think of it that way.
Even more painful. Even more
exactly. Painful. Exactly. All right, Julie, we have put together quite a show. Quite a show. I know it's been an emotional week for a lot of people, but we're bringing some light and laughter to the airwaves today. So you're going to tell us all about your weekend. You characterize it as a surprise weekend. I can't wait.
Like flat out surprise, Leanne. Yeah, I can't wait to tell you about it.
Oh, my gosh. Exciting. Okay. And then speaking of exciting, we had the president in our neighborhood last week, and I was on the ground tracking his movements, and I can give you an update on what that's like. We have, of course, the sad demise of the Gap. You know, for years at Satellite Sisters, we've been trying to just gather some coins together to buy the Gap and return it to its days of former glory. And things are really going south for the Gap. So you have the full story there. A couple of stories about, it looks like, the internet. Is that it?
Yes. Well, no. One story about the internet, Leanne. This is the big breakthrough. You know, on Tuesdays, I like to bring you new trends.
Yeah.
And this is it. I am totally backing it. They haven't asked for my support, but I am I'm all in on this one idea.
Okay.
And then I have a sort of a back to the future story for you too, Leanne.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I have good news if you want to live to 100. Well, at least I have a how-to. What to eat and what not to eat and what to drink and what not to drink if you want to live to 100.
Oh, really?
I know people have been waiting breathlessly. Leanne, how is the no shampooing going? I can give you my update. And Julie, you said you have an update.
I am on the bandwagon. Okay.
And then speaking of hair, I have a cat update. Remember I had the random cat in my yard?
Yeah.
Just want to let you know what's happening there. And we did it, people. Julie and I watched Poldark, and we are on the bandwagon. So we're going to have a recap at the end of the show of Poldark, which is only British people could name a television show that, right?
I mean, it's the worst name. It's sort of even hard to get it out of your mouth.
Poldark. I know. So, okay. All right. So, what happened this weekend? What was a big surprise?
Okay. Well, Thursday evening, 9:20 at night. Okay. I'm in my nightgown. I've got my bathrobe on. I am upstairs. And the doorbell rings, Leanne. Okay.
Uh-oh.
And there's a little Mr. and Mrs. Bickerson going on because my husband is still dressed. And I was like, you go answer the door. You go. I don't want to go down to my bathrobe. And he's like, no, you do it. I'm not doing it. So we're having this little like fight upstairs. So I go down, I peer through the little, the peephole, and I see two women with sunglasses, Mardi Gras beads on, and a giant balloon bouquet. So at first, I think it is just that some local people, you know, I'm here, we're in this temporary apartment complex. I think it's some women that have had a few too margaritas at our local Mexican restaurant, and they've just rung the wrong doorbell, you know. But I open the door, and lo and behold, it is my two dearest, oldest friends, Leslie and Linda. And they are there to wish me a surprise birthday, Leanne.
Oh. It is
not my birthday.
It's not for a while. I know that.
Well,
it's
it's
July.
Only 3 weeks away, Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really not that far away. I am turning the big 6-0. I'm happy to say that. I'm not afraid of that number. And my friends were not going to be able to come, you know, to be with me for my 60th. And they cooked up this plan. They both, you know, they're both full-time jobs. They both had been working in other states, got on planes late in the day, flew to Dallas and show up at my doorstep with the giant, the balloons that got sunglasses on and Mardi Gras beads.
That is so fun.
That is
fantastic.
Well, I've never had a surprise birthday. Okay. I've never, ever had a surprise birthday. And I was bowled over. I was totally surprised. Okay. In fact, earlier in the day, I had done some grocery shopping for the weekend because I had planned a really action-packed weekend for my husband and I. We were going to clean out the garage. That was it.
Yeah, wow.
Good times there, Leon.
Sounds
you know.
Great to be 60.
Yeah. Yes, it does. We are cleaning out the garage. That's what we were going to do. I bought some groceries and I'm putting them away in the refrigerator. And I noticed there is all this other fruit and cheese. And I, again, Mr. and Mrs. Bickerson, I'm yelling at my husband. I was like, why did you buy all this fruit? It's going to go bad. We're never going to be able to eat this. It's just the two of us. And I don't want all this cheese. That's going to, we're trying to lose weight. What's the matter with you? So I packed it up. And I sent it over to my daughter-in-law's house.
Oh my gosh,
Of course, my husband had bought this because he knew my two friends were coming in late for the weekend. So he bought fruit and cheese. He bought an air mattress, Leanne. He had this all like, because they're staying with us. Okay. And so they were there here for the weekend. I have to say, I was just giddy. That's the only way I can describe this whole experience. We were giddy. I've known Leslie since I was 13. Linda was my roommate my junior year abroad in France. You know, and they just didn't want my birthday to pass without making note of it. And that
is so nice.
It was such an act of friendship, and the wave of love as they came through the door, you know, and they were so proud of themselves that they had hooked up this plan and that it had actually worked and they had gotten here and that it, you know, and that it was, the surprise was intact, that we just had a wonderful time. They had, of course, they had reservations for dinner at a very nice restaurant. But during the day, we were just talking and laughing. Our big excursion was, we didn't want to do anything too cultural. We'd ruled all that out. But we did have time to go to Sam Moon Oriental Trading Company, which is sort of a landmark here in Dallas. They have several stores. And Leon, this is just, it's a room full of fun. That's the only way I can describe Sam Moon's. You can look it up. They have costume jewelry. They have fake pocketbooks. They have wigs. They have scarves. They have more costume jewelry. And with our good fortune, they were having a closeout sale on their Easter fascinator fascinators. So and everything in the store is $5.99, $4.99, or $6.99.
Sounds good.
So it's a whole lot of fun, Leon. So we just did stuff like that all weekend. And instead of like feeling older on your birthday, I feel younger, Leanne.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
I am totally invigorated with the whole thing. So I just went with it. You know, I mean, this was my birthday. I've turned 60. The actual date is in a couple of weeks, but I'm ready for this decade, Leanne.
Okay.
I am ready.
Okay, you got your fascinator. You're good to go.
And I've got some fabulous, wait till you see some of the earrings that I picked up, Leanne. They're really good.
Uh-oh.
We all bought the same stuff too, which is nice that we get to a point in our lives where how you want to a little competition among your friends. No. We want to look the same. So we were buying the same bracelets. We're buying the same earrings. You know,
did you buy any of those red hats?
No, we got fascinators, Leon.
Okay. Well, that is really nice. That is, wow. That puts, first of all, the pressure on the sisters. I just wasn't even tracking that it was really your big birthday. So.
Yes, indeed. It is. Okay. So TikTok sisters, you got a couple weeks to come up with a scheme, but no surprise parties. Okay. That's been done. You're going to have to come up with something else.
That's not really how we roll anyway. So
No, it isn't. No, I mean, really? You know, that's, we are, you know, it's pretty easy to exceed our expectations when it comes to birthdays, isn't it? So this one I'm still reeling, Leon, because I've just never had, you know, other people have surprise parties and stuff like that. Not me, you know?
Yeah, so that is great. Well, that's
pretty good.
That's great. Well, last week we had a touch of a surprise here in the neighborhood. I live in Pasadena. I have mentioned many times that I live near the Rose Bowl, but it is germane to this story. And last week, the president was in Southern California to do a couple of fundraising events, but then he was going to do Mark Maron's podcast. Now, it's become a big news story, and you probably listened to the show. I hope you have. It's a good interview. Mark Maron records his podcast in a garage about 3 or 4 miles from my house, so in Highland Park, California. And Mark Maron's podcast he's been doing it since 2009. He's a comedian, but he's also kind of known for his sort of wide-ranging interview style. It really sounds conversational. As we know, Julie, only podcasts can, right? Only
exactly.
Audio can. And he does it in his garage. He's a true podcaster. He's not a public radio-supported fake podcaster. He really is sort of doing his own thing, having his own conversations with people he feels are interesting and he's interested in, which is sort of the nature of our beast here, podcasting. You kind of talk about the things you want to talk about. It's your forum, and relatively cheaply to produce, to talk about what you want to talk about. So, but he is a huge audience. He is allegedly 400,000 downloads a show. So that's a big audience. And apparently this was a year in the making that the president decided that his advisors suggested he do this podcast. It seems sort of the right level of informality and kind of surprise and just away from the mainstream media, something very different. So he decided to do Mark Maron's podcast. But, you know, Highland Park is a very, it's just a crowded urban neighborhood. And you basically can't land a presidential helicopter in Highland Park. There's no...
And so, they don't have any heliports there.
They do not. Nope. They do not. They do not. They have, they do not. They have a couple of elementary schools with playgrounds, but it's not, as I learned last week when I saw the Entourage show up, it's not just one helicopter, it's 5 helicopters you have to land when you roll with the president. So they shut down the whole Rose Bowl area. We got the notice the day before, and I was like, well, really? Why would they... That seems extreme if he's just, you know, motorcading to Highland Park. And then it became obvious, they're landing the helicopter here. And then he has to go back to LAX, and then he has to go up to San Francisco. So, Julie, long story short, just in the neighborhood, the president landed his helicopter, 3 Osprey, and another like fake Marine One. So it's 5 helicopter entourage that shows up for the president.
That's impressive.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge.
You know what? It was fantastic. I have to say, I am nonpartisan about presidential spectacle, Julie. Okay, yeah. I like a spectacle. I like something happening. I've never seen a presidential motorcade. I just have never seen one. I've actually never seen a living president do anything. Have you?
Well, yes, we've had a lot of motorcades here in Dallas because of the Bush Presidential Library.
Okay.
So when all those presidents came for the dedication. Yes, it's quite a scene.
It's
Leanne.
A scene. So, I mean, it's just a scene. And so we were pretty psyched. And I figured it out with a few conversations with the police officers. They weren't giving out a ton of information, but it was obvious when they were going to arrive and when they were going to leave. You could figure it out. So I was there with about 24 people watching the president. Now, mind you, everything is shut down. So we're standing probably a good third of a mile, you know, on a hillside overlooking the Rose Bowl. He's landing in the parking lot right in front of the Rose Bowl. We were a long way away and there was no other traffic down there. They shut everything down. But I had my handy binoculars, Julie. And so I could actually, so it was it was fantastic. The Osprey landed, the president landed, the cars pull up. They pull the car right up next to Marine One. A couple of Secret Service men came down first. Again, I have the binoculars. If you didn't have the binoculars, you wouldn't have been able to see with the naked eye. And then he came out and just right down into the car. There wasn't any big wave moment or anything. There was none of that.
He didn't see you up on the hill with your binoculars.
No. But there were Secret Service men in the neighborhood. I noticed them later.
Yeah.
And then they got in the entourage and they all went over to Mark Maron's garage, which must have been a scene because Highland Park is like, you know, very crowded urban hilly neighborhood. So, I mean, our webmaster lives over there and I had to go over to her house the other day and I was like, I don't think I can drive up and down these hills. It's like shockingly hilly. So I'm thinking of the 20 cars in the motorcade and they had the SWAT team there. They had the ambulance. I guess an ambulance always travels with the president, which makes sense now. And so then on the way back, I switched positions, Julie. I stood on the bridge near our house and I was able to see the whole motorcade, which I hadn't been able to see the first time. So it was thoroughly satisfying from my point of view. I've only seen one in my life. This will probably be the only one I ever see. It was fantastic. Now, we've had other people there. Apparently, the first President Bush did the same thing, landed the helicopters at the Rose Bowl. He went to speak to the Caltech graduating class. And then, unbelievably, he also went to Highland Park, where he showed up at my mother-in-law's elementary school when he was doing the 1,000 points of light thing, when that was his thing.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So he also went to Highland Park, and then Bill Clinton was at the Rose Bowl for, I think it was a World Cup, but we had some arguments on the Hill. They thought it was a Rose Bowl game, but I'm pretty sure it was a World Cup game, but he came in. But this was exciting. So this was great. I'm sure if you were stuck on the freeway, it was not that exciting,
yeah.
But I wasn't. I was just walking around the neighborhood, so I was fine with it. But the interesting thing was that people on the Hill, and then I've had many conversations with neighbors afterwards and friends afterwards. What is he doing here? Julie, I feel like I've become a spokesperson for the podcasting industry because no one knew, like, who is Mark Maron? What is a podcast? Where can I listen? Why would the president go to a garage? And I had to, like, I had to say, because that's our ethos, man. We're in closets. We're in garages. We're speaking our mind. We're bringing our voices to the people. And so I feel like I have done an excellent job as an unofficial spokesperson for the podcasting industry this week, explaining to people.
There's no one more talented and more qualified than you to do that, Leanne.
Thank you. We are podcast pioneers, some of the first people to be uploading our show. So there you go. I was happy to do it, Mark Maron. Call me. Call me if you want me in the garage. You know where I am. I don't need a helicopter.
Maybe you could just swing by, Leanne. Just go, going to walk around outside his garage.
It was so sad to me, though, Julie, that he was literally driving by my house and he couldn't just swing by to do Satellite Sisters.
Just come on upstairs into the closet, you know, just for a couple minutes. That would have been good.
I mean, that doesn't happen. Like, honestly, driving by the house. So it just was kind of crazy. But I enjoyed it. Well done, team. Well done.
Well, I hope this will be the tipping point for podcasting.
Let's hope.
Perhaps that this is now, you know, this is between this and the popularity of Serial, that more people will just, you know, embrace it. Because
we're the cool kids. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think people think it's much harder than it is, you know, to listen to.
So. Oh, to listen to. I thought you meant to do.
No, not to do.
It's very hard to do.
But to listen to it. Yeah.
Right. I kept saying to people, have you ever watched a video on YouTube? Okay, it's the same thing. You just click on the play button and you just go to Mark Maron's website or go to satellitesisters.com or I don't know how to do those. Well, it's not, just click play. It's really not that hard. But I was nicer than that when I was talking to the people in my neighborhood. So anyway.
Well, so you're really recovering too, Lynn.
Recovering. It was a big day. It was a big day. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Leanne, we have to turn to talk to some of the talk about some of the news stories. I have some sad news, which is it's over for The Gap. You know, they just, it's a big lament, but they announced last week that they're closing 675 North American stores.
Oh, you know, my gosh. I didn't know it was that many.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So that's, well, they have a lot of stores, Leanne, you know?
Yeah.
So I just... What happened? And this, they had a big article about business article about what went wrong. I mean, number one, it's no longer cool to wear Gap clothes. I mean, people don't even know who Sharon Stone is anymore. But remember, you know, she was the coolest of the cool. And she wore that little Gap turtleneck to the Oscars with some big designer skirt. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Wasn't it a white blouse? Well, I think she did it 2 years, right?
Or maybe it was a white blouse.
I think it was the white blouse.
Gap. It was a white blouse, but it was Gap.
It was Gap. Oh, for sure. Yes. No doubt.
Totally. And the thing is that they, you know, they also find that they're now so many, everybody's into fashion, you know, that,
right.
you know, that luxury is booming. People want to have fashion. And so you have, you know, at the high end, the luxury items are selling well. And then there are, you know, there are stores like TJ Maxx, which we love, which are, you know, also providing, you know, clothing at a discount price. So Gap was kind of stuck in the middle. That's no good. And then it's a giant teenager fail. Teenagers are not, they're just not going into that. They don't like that brand. They have H&M, they have Uniqlo, they have Zara. So they want fast retailing. They want, you know, if they see something on the runway, they want to be able to walk into H&M and buy some knockoff for $9.99.
That's where my son shops, H&M. It never occurs to them to, they only go to the Gap when I take them to the Gap.
No, it's over. It's over.
It's over.
I mean, that the Gap has really struggled to try to, you know, to do some of this fast fashion, and they can't do it because they don't have the vertical integration of, you know, they don't own the factories, so it takes them longer to, you know, to take a design and make it and get it to the stores. So that's good. That's a problem. And then also, people aren't going to malls, Leon. Malls are slumping, and that's where the gap is, you know, then, of course, in the mall.
So I can't believe that. People are, because I only go to malls when I drop my son off at the movies, but it's packed. Every time I go to that mall, it's packed in Arcadia, but other malls are struggling.
Maybe. Yeah. Other malls are struggling. And then the sort of heyday for the Gap was business casual. And, you know, that was a horrible look for women in particular, right? Khakis and the polo shirt that we all have. Oh gosh. I had to wear some of that stuff. I can remember that. But that business casual, meaning khakis and a polo shirt, it's over. Okay, people, now you have a lot more variety when it comes to business, casual. So I just don't know where what we're going to do. I mean, it's just over, you know, so.
You don't think we can fix it from our microphones?
We tried, Leanne, but I mean, it's just. They just failed to adapt to a very changing and dynamic situation. So,
well, it's interesting. We have a very good fashion writer for the LA Times. Her name is Booth Moore. And I care almost nothing about fashion, but she's such a good writer that she reports on things in not a like weird way. She's just a very solid reporter, and she happens to report about fashion. So she did an analysis of this season's clothing at the Gap, and apparently they hired a new designer who was supposed to, you know, be on trend and fix that fashion gap they have. And Booth Moore just said the clothes are ugly. She's like, just go. There's not one thing you would want to put on. It's like, you know, no one goes to the Gap to buy like high fashion, you know, short dresses that look like paper bags. And she mentioned how gray everything was, and it made me think of you came out strongly against gray baby clothes.
And yes,
so she just said basically the clothes are really ugly. If they're wondering why they're not selling, the clothes are ugly. And so there you go. So I don't know if we can, I think it's beyond us then, Joel. I think it is,
but I'm hoping they can save Baby Gap, because for some reason they're doing the right thing in Baby Gap. I mean, they have very cute clothes in there, reasonably priced. They're fun and they're fashionable, and the kids like them, and moms like them, and nanas like them too. So I just hope, that's my big worry, that the Gap store is going to pull down Baby Gap and we're going to lose Baby Gap, and then I'm in trouble. Okay. So that's one bit of news. Now, here's another story I saw, Leon, and I just said hallelujah. I said hallelujah when I read this. It's an article by a professor at Yale about that, you know, one of the things that, you know, he teaches computer science there, and one of the things that he's observed about the whole internet age and where it's going and what we're going to do next is that we're going to there's a very important age group that I am now part of, Liam, because I'm turning the big 60, and that as people age, we lose our dexterity, you know, so we are going to be less able to do all the texting and typing that is at the heart of the internet digital age. Right.
Right.
And what we're all about is audio, Leon. Like to talk and listen, okay? Right? Because as you age, you still, you know, the last things to go, Leon, is your hearing, okay? Your hearing, your, you know, and so this is a real opportunity that as we have an aging population, that we, you know, that, and what this professor envisions is TalkNet, that there would be a whole internet for people who do not want to type or text, but they just want to listen and talk, and that there would be featured conversations in your own languages. So you could pick whatever language you want, and that they would maybe topically arranged. Maybe one would, you know, weather topics, politics, arts, other issues in the news, and that it would be all open and public. And that you would be able to join in to these conversations. What do you think?
That sounds terrible. I just envision, you know, the way old people yell at the television. Like, why? That's just rooms full of old people yelling at the television. My God, that sounds terrible.
Leanne.
Just, who wants that? Just no one wants
I that. Think, I am going to want that. I am going to want that, Leanne. I have always felt that there should be more talking and less typing. I find that typing is, it's really stilts the conversation and it doesn't, you don't get it into the flow, you know, and I think it really just to be able to listen to people, we can get better sound equipment, Leanne, to turn it up really loudly. Okay. But I mean, there's great power to group conversations. And I think it will be a real help to our aging population. I think it will, you know, when you think about it, to have all these informal conversations and not political debates, but informal conversations on a wide range of topics. It's a great way.
Mainly your health issues. Yeah.
Your health. Oh, you have a bad attitude, sister, about this whole thing. Okay. Well, you're not going to be invited to be on TalkNet.
Okay.
If you're interested in TalkNet, please let us know. Okay. Please let us know at satellitesisters.com or go to our Facebook group, The Satellite Sisters, and let me know. Because I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it is the next big idea that's out there. Okay.
All right,
so,
Joel.
Well, Leanne is, you know, youngest sister. Okay.
That's okay, you know what, Joel? We're having a few connection problems, so let's take a quick break and we're going to reconnect, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, we're the Satellite Sisters. Speaking of TalkNet, here we go. Better connection, Julie. So I'm out on that. But what else you got for me? Something that's back to the future?
Something else that maybe you should think about, sister, which is it's sort of a back to the future topic. Something that, again, Satellite Sisters, we've been talking about for years and years and years, and that is civility. There's a new group of research out. It was written about in the New York Times this weekend by Christine Forath, who's a Georgetown Business School professor, that, you know, that we've talked about civility for a long time, but now that they have really linked rudeness at work to that it hurts profits, it hurts health, and it hurts happiness. That in fact, as they do, they've done a series of surveys of a wide ranging of companies across a variety of industries. And they found out that, you know, incivility really can hijack the workplace. That if people are rude, if they interrupt, if they ignore people, that it does not create a good work environment. So information goes missing. You know, you don't share information as easily with a rude person. You don't work as efficiently as with other rude people. It shuts people down, and they want to contribute less to the workplace. So we've been saying this for a long time. We knew this, that, you know, that if you are, it's so easy to be civil in your daily life. And by making some small adjustments, you really can improve, the profits of your organization because people work better. But they also
does rudeness look like then in the workplace? It's been so long since I've been in a workplace. Like, I'm trying to envision you're at work, people just interrupting you at meetings. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Gossiping.
Okay. It's that they have a bullying style, that they're demanding, that they, you know, they're not considerate, you know, like if you work close by and they're not considerate to your workspace. I mean, these are all things that happen in the workplace. And it's also creating so much stress for workers. They take more time off. They have more illnesses because the stress of just tolerating rudeness is a serious thing. So, and they found that if you're respectful to other people, that, you know, that this can really improve the workplace, which improves profits and which reduces health issues.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not a big thing. They're small adjustments. So it's not like you're, you know, it's not like fist fights are breaking out every day in the workplace, Lynn, but it's more sort of small slights. It's lack of consideration. You know, it's not establishing eye contact. It's yelling. It's being inconsiderate, you know. And
okay.
So those are very typical ones. So, you know, it's just, you know, we've always talked about civility being a good thing, you know, for civility's sake. But now they've been able to link it to profits, to people's health, and obviously to happiness. Hmm. So it's just something to keep in mind. It caught my eye, and I thought that was important. But it's one other thing that they found in this research was interesting, that sadly, there's sort of, if you're too warm and friendly, there's sort of, you're perceived as not being competent. You know, that there's sort of an inverse inverse relationship there, that you can go overboard. Like if you're too nice and too friendly and too warm, people perceive you as being less competent in your job.
That's
so
classic.
You have to sort of find some kind of edge there, Lynn, between being hostile and domineering and being nice. Okay.
Okay, that's a good tip. You know, fortunately, almost no one's ever accused me of being too nice, so I don't think that's a problem for me. But you're so nice, people might think that of you. So
do they think I'm incompetent?
No, you just got to find, just keep your edge. Don't let your edge go once you're yelling at your computer all day.
We're not inviting you into any of our conversations.
Good. Please don't. Here's one that you might want to talk about with your old friends, and that is how to live to 100. Okay, I saw this in Health Magazine. And I've been kind of, I know, right? Now that I'm 50, I'm thinking I might want to live to 100.
I don't know if I want to live. That's 40 more years for me. I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
I just feel like the alternative is not good. So I would not a fan of the alternative. So there is a doctor out there. It's from a diet book called the Blue Zone Diet Book. I'll post a link to that at satellitesisters.com. But this writer has identified areas in the world where people live to be 100 and labeled them the Blue Zone. Okay.
Okay.
So that includes places like the Greek island of Icaria, the highlands of Sardinia, Costa Rica. There's a Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, Okinawa, Japan. And then here's the real surprise, Loma Linda, California, which has the highest.
Loma Linda, California, really?
It has the highest concentration of Seventh-day Adventists in the U.S. And part of the Seventh-day Adventist religion is that they're kind of clean livers. You know, they believe in like diet and exercise as a piece of their religion. They don't drink. They're vegetarian and they believe in the outdoors. I know because my sons went to a bunch of Seventh-day Adventist summer camps in Oregon and they were vegetarian. All, you know, I was like this. They really believe in like that sort of thing as spiritual. And so, so I thought that was really interesting because I know you've heard of the Mediterranean diet or the Japanese diet, but this is a pretty comprehensive study, of, you know, cultures all over the world. So you can do it anywhere if you really try. Okay. So it's 10 steps and I won't go into all 10, but here are a couple of the biggies. The first one, Julie, is you have to get, this is hard, 95% of your food from plants.
Oh, okay.
It's produce, whole grains, and beans. Okay. Ooh. Produce, whole grains, and beans. Just keep repeating that to yourself because that is the key. And particularly leafy green vegetables.
Okay. I know what you're saying there. I know which leafy green I have to eat.
No, right? So, not just kale, Julie. Not just kale. All you can eat dandelion greens. I've seen those in the store lately. Okay. I didn't know what to do with them. They said like at least a cup to 2 cups of leafy green vegetables a day.
Okay.
And really the dark green ones, not iceberg lettuce with blue cheese dressing.
Ooh, yeah. That's my favorite, Lynn. No. With a little bacon on top.
Mm, no. Mm. Yeah. You have to really, a cup of cooked greens a day. If you eat that and you're over 45, you're half as likely to die in the next 4 years as those who eat no greens. That's pretty powerful. Like, If you're not eating any greens, seriously, start now, because that's the way to go. Okay, don't consume meat more than twice a week. Okay? Only two, which is
and
not
that much.
Does that
include chicken and fish, too, or is that just red meat?
Yes. No, it includes chicken. Only fish, they want you to eat every day.
Oh.
Okay? You can eat fish every day, up to 3 ounces of fish a day. Okay? Because that's in blue zones overseas. Fish is the most common part of everyday meals. Okay. So you want to get the middle of the food chain species like sardines, anchovies, and cod. That way they aren't exposed to mercury. I know those all sound bad. All right. Not a lot of meat. Eat a lot of veggies. You can eat fish every day. Please cut back on dairy, they say.
I like dairy. Yogurt and cheese.
I like it.
Okay.
Goat and sheep's milk products like yogurt are common in these traditional good, places like Greece and Sardinia. But the studies are incomplete whether it's the yogurt that's so good for people or because they live in places where goats are, they're hiking up and down every day.
So what if we just get some goats, Leanne?
Get some goats, make the yogurt, and then you can eat as much as you want, I think.
Okay.
You can have 3 eggs a week. Okay. And that's like total. That's not a lot of eggs.
No,
in your baked goods and stuff and in any recipes.
It doesn't sound like you're getting any baked goods.
No, you're only getting baked goods. They make that clear. You're only getting baked goods on special occasions. Special occasion baked good.
So here's bread?
Here's the good news.
Diet?
No, there is. There is bread in this diet. So that's the good news for us toast fans. Okay. Switch to sourdough or whole wheat. And they particularly said that sourdough has the good bacteria in it, which helps you digest. So it has to be real sourdough with a real starter, not like the fake sourdough you get in some places. Uh-huh. So you're going to have to go to a legitimate bakery and get real sourdough. But they said that's actually better than
gluten-free. I'll be too weak to walk to the bakery, Leanne, because I'm just...
greens and beans, baby.
I'm not leaving the bathroom. It doesn't sound like it, but go ahead.
Greens and beans. Cut your sugar consumption. You know that.
Good idea.
Yep. No processed food. Use honey. And then here's the thing that really stuck out with me. It's why I paid attention to the article. Here's what people in blue zones drink, okay? Almost without exception. These are the liquids they drink. Water.
Okay.
Coffee.
Okay, good.
Tea.
Good.
And red wine.
Okay.
Okay, like fruit juice, not on the list, Vodka. Not on the list.
No, none of that. Okay. All right. But the coffee, that's good.
That is good, right? Wine.
Okay.
And I know you're a big tea drinker and I started
green tea.
I've started to make a lot of iced tea, big picture of, green tea, iced tea every day. Water, coffee, tea, and red wine.
I thought for sure you were going to say beet juice. Really? So this is just good news, Liam. I'm really excited about this.
So there you go. If you want to live to be 100. So the name of the book is Blue Zone Solution by Dan Buettner. And it's published by National Geographic Books. So I will put all that information up. But it looks pretty interesting. It feels like you can incorporate... Like, start right now with the greens, for God's sakes.
I eat greens. I think everyone should eat greens. Yeah.
Well, I feel lucky that we live in a place in California with a lot of greens. I feel like some people really do have a hard time actually finding, healthy, fresh greens out of season.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky that we live in a place with a lot of greens. So eat your greens. My husband's like, what is happening with the power green salads? I'm like, we're having one every day for the rest of our lives.
Well, that's a good place to start, Leanne.
Yeah.
You can definitely still sprinkle the bacon bits on top of your leafy greens.
Only meet twice a day.
I'm just starting. You got to take little baby steps. Okay.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, Pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, Pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right. Okay. A couple of updates before we get to Pole Dark. First of all, the no shampooing. So last week I was on day 3, this no shampooing trend. I read about people at Satellite Sisters Facebook page supported me, gave me a lot of tips. They said, just go with the cheap, suave conditioner. Just massage it into your scalp, rinse it out. You should be good to go. I was warned there was some transition periods. It didn't work for some people. Some people abandoned the no shampooing. But I can tell you this, after 10 days, my hair looks fantastic. But my scalp doesn't feel clean. Like, my scalp is itchy. So I have actually shampooed twice in 10 days. Like, I shampooed this morning because I was like, I just can't stand it. My hair, though, looked great. Like, the actual hair. So I think if I go with a much reduced shampooing regime, I will be fine. But mm-hmm. I will probably have to shampoo maybe once a week, especially in the summer when it's so hot and I get sweaty. So what are you doing it, Julie? Did you jump on the bandwagon?
I got in on it. Okay. Nobody in Dallas has heard of it. I asked a couple of people. I got some very strange looks. They didn't know what I was talking about. But, I was encouraged by what you said. Yeah. I've tried it. Leanne, big difference in my hair.
It looks great, right?
Yes. Big difference. And it's, I get hot and sweaty here. We did a lot of running around. But it has made a big difference, like a dramatic difference in my hair in the first week. This is like day six.
Wow. So, all right. Dramatic difference.
Yes. So I like it very much.
Yeah.
I will shampoo my hair at some point. But I can really extend it. And I think it's a good thing, particularly as you age, you're stripping out, there's no reason not to be putting more condition in your hair. You got to do this stuff. It's like putting more face cream on. I'm totally on board with this, Leanne.
Okay.
Excellent.
It's exciting, Julie. Okay,
it's
good.
It's exciting. I am the first in Dallas, in the land of big hair. People don't know what I am talking about. Okay.
So I guess if you use that much hairspray in your hair,
That's a joke, Leanne. You've been to Dallas.
It's very chic. It's a very chic place.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good news. All right. So there you go, Satellite Sisters.
Try it, people. You'll like it. You should definitely try it. And as you said last week, it's not going to hurt you. It really isn't. I don't know what I thought with my hair was going to fall out or something. And you can stop if you don't like it.
You can just shampoo your hair. This morning, I felt like I needed to shampoo my hair, but I just used a tiny bit of shampoo. Exactly. Mixed in with a lot of conditioner. Yeah. So, and it feels great. But yeah, big difference in the actual hair on my head, for sure. Looks great. Okay. And then a big update on the cat. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned I had this stray cat in the backyard. And I hadn't actually gotten very close to it or anything like that, but I was contemplating feeding it because I'm not a cat person and I'm very allergic to cats. So I can never have a cat in the house, nor do I care to pet them. But I do like having one in the yard to take care of some business out there, to take care of any mice or rats, or I would like a little intimidation factor with the squirrels that are now running rampant in my backyard since my dog died. So here's the deal, Julie. I started to feed the cat. People had said, once you feed the cat, it's your cat. So I noticed it on the front porch one day and it looked hungry. So I got some cat food and I put it out there. And now every night around 5 o'clock, I put the cat food out and the cat comes and eats the cat food. And I think that's
it. This is such a disturbing trend that now 2 out of 5 Satellite Sisters have feral cats. What is up with you sisters? I can't.
Here's the thing.
You're such a softie.
Well, I like having animal. I like having an animal to care for, and I currently don't have one. But what I have to say though made me laugh. I have the dog. My god dog now is how I think of Maverick. German Shepherd across the street. And I thought, well, this is the classic difference between dogs and cats. I put that cat food out and it took a couple days for the cat to sort of find it and eat it. But it took about 12 seconds for Maverick to find it and eat it. So not only did he eat the cat food, he ate the bowl. Like he was just so happy. He's like,
dogs love cat food. He ate the cat food
and then he just completely destroyed the plastic bowl it was in. I was like, that's the difference between dogs and cats. Cats are picky. They don't show up for a couple of days. 22 seconds. The dog has eaten the food and the bowl. But I don't know if I'm supposed to do anything else. Like if I'm actually beholden now to this cat, just let me know. I have no intention of ever touching it.
We'll see. I mean, that's the way Monica was with her feral cat. But they have quite the relationship.
My husband does. Yeah, I named the cat. I call him Palm because he likes to sit out underneath the pomegranate tree. So my husband thinks he may be someone else's house cat. He's like, Leanne, that is just a good looking cat. That's a totally healthy, good looking cat. I don't think he's feral. I think you're just a sucker. So, which again, that's also fine. I don't care. I don't really want to be his owner at all. But, I feel like it's a small thing I can do.
Okay, Leanne. Yeah. You got a cat in your life.
Okay. All right. So this week, we thought we'd give Poldark a try. This is the new masterpiece series on PBS. Julie, Poldark was like a masterpiece series in the 80s. Is that correct? The 70s and
80s? Yeah, I know you're asking me because I'm the oldest sister. No, I have no recollection of Poldark on a masterpiece theater. Yeah. So I have no idea. But so it's all new to me. I haven't read the book associated with this. So, and I know nothing about this story.
Okay.
But I will say, you know, they have the tri-corner hats, the puffy shirts, the English countryside, the seascapes, and stallions. That's what this series has for going for it. So I feel at home, Liam.
Yeah, okay. It is. I think it's going to be totally fine to fill the gap between Downton Abbey and Outlander, should Julie ever choose to go back to Outlander again. And if you're missing that, I think you will enjoy this series. So from what I can tell, it was like a series in the 70s and 80s. And the name was vaguely familiar to me in the upstairs downstairs era, I believe, but I had not seen it. So the remake, it centers on this guy, Ross Poldark. He's some sort of British gentry who goes off to fight in the Revolutionary War. And, you know, I almost turned it off right there because I'm not really that big on British fighting in the Revolutionary War. They were on the wrong side of that man. They're the enemies. So I thought, well, why should I care about this guy? But then the more you get a look at Aidan Turner, who plays Poldark, the more you care, Julie. Don't you find that to be true?
He definitely has a good, you know, when his profile, and there's a lot of shots of profile shots of him. He's pretty handsome, Liam.
Yeah.
So yes, so that is good. And there's no time travel involved with this series, as far as I can tell. And everybody kept their clothes on in this opening episode. So, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. You know, I'm still a little scarred from Outlander. I just want to put that out there. You know, you can wade into the waters of Poldark, at least in the first episode. Everyone kept their clothes on.
Yes. Okay. So he comes home. He manages to have no communication with his family for 7 or 8 years that he's over there. He comes back. He finds out that his father has died. His father has left in the estate, which is in tremendous debt.
Of course.
The girl he thought he was going to marry is now marrying like the simpering cousin who has the money and the estate. And things are basically a disaster at the estate. Mm-hmm. So he's sort of embittered. He's enraged that the girl hasn't waited for him, which I have to say seemed kind of, I thought that was a little much. I mean, he didn't really write her for 7 years. Why is she supposed to wait? What'd you think of that?
I mean, he was annoyed, but everyone thought he was dead. They lost the war and he didn't contact her. So what's she to do? She has this sort of really, you know, high pressure helicopter mother that wants to make sure that her, you know, the beautiful daughter Elizabeth marries well, you know, and so she's really like pushing Elizabeth on this cousin. So I guess that's it. But we have the unrequited love. There's certainly simmering passion between Elizabeth and Ross Poldark. So
there's simmering passion between Ross Poldark and a chair. I mean,
yes, indeed.
He's a sexy guy. Like,
there's no kilts involved here. It's all sort of knee highs and those knickers, knee highs and knickers and no kilts. But you're going to enjoy it.
I mean, he picks up a pewter mug and you're like, yeah, hot. So, So Poldark is destroyed that the love of his life is not hung around for him and waited for him. He goes into town to sell some pewter mugs or whatever. And fortunately, he discovers a young girl there whose dog is about to be used in a dog fight. And he is sympathetic to her and he brings her home to work as a kitchen maid, even though he has no money and no food and a really bad kitchen. And fortunately, she's a supermodel, basically.
Yes. Now, she does, in this first episode, have the no-poo hair treatment, which I noticed, Liam, like that they wash your hair under the cold water outside. And yes, she goes from being a dirty-faced girl to, you know, supermodel. Exactly, Liam.
Yes. So that looks like that's going to heat up between Ross and the street urchin that he picked up. Julie, though, I have to say her accent reminded me of John Ramos doing Keira Knightley.
Yes.
Right?
In my notes, I said, worst My Fair Lady accent I've ever heard. That's what I wrote down. Yes. John Ramos, Keira Knightley. That's, yes. What supermodel girl. You should take in a few more British accent lessons.
I mean, she's British. Believe it or not, Poldark, that guy, Aidan Turner, is American. But she's actually Demelza. Which, what kind of name is that? She's actually British, but she has a terrible accent. But I think she's going to prove to be a worthy love interest for Poldark. And then in the meantime, we have some of the worst teeth ever shown on television.
Gosh, Lynn, those are just horrendous teeth.
Okay? Yeah.
Just, again, in my notes as well, Lynn. Well, that was a good comment. Yes. It is that may, you know, certain episodes you may turn away because there's violence. In this Poldark, show, you're going to turn away when you see them smile. It's really bad.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. So in many ways, it makes you realize how far British teeth have come in 200 years, even though they're not particularly great now.
Right. I'll be more sympathetic to some of those mouths I see. Yes. Okay, Lynn. Good point.
All right. So we have the scheming uncle who's trying to get rid of Poldark. Poldark does not take the bait now that he's found the supermodel housemaid. And he feels like he has a team there. The people of his estate are loyal to him. They fight off the street urchin's family that comes to take her back to their abusive house. He chases them off by cracking them over the head with more. Lamps and things like that. And so the end of the first episode, Julie, there is some hope. There's some hope that Poldark is going to pull together the estate, rehab this young woman. And we have a couple of excellent dogs, didn't you think, in the show?
Garrett is sort of a Ferris-like character that he's the Dirty Face Girls / Supermodels dog. And very cute dog. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, Lynn, in one episode, I was like, okay, I'm interested to see what happens to Mr. Poldark here. Yes. So I think this will be a nice little summer show for us to watch.
It's a palate cleanser, Joel. It's a palate cleanser that. So we have to think of a catchy name for our recap, because Poldark recap is not...
We can barely say that. Yes.
Pole snark? No, that's not good. I don't know. If people have any suggestions, watch along with us. I know some of you already tuned it in. It was a huge hit in England. And apparently, the minute this guy goes swimming, it's all over. Just saying.
Okay.
Takes a dip in the pond.
All right.
Yeah. Takes a dip in the pond, and it's a whole Mr. Darcy situation. So we have that to look forward to. So if you weren't able to watch this week's, I'm sure you can see it at PBS somewhere.
You can watch it. You can watch it online. Just go to pbs.org, and they have the episodes for free to watch. So
okay,
you can
Julie,
watch it right
well
there.
Done. Good job. Good follow-up
all right.
on there.
Well, it's because I'm going to be in this TalkNet discussion group with my people, Leanne. Okay.
All right. What do you got happening this week? Anything?
Well, Leanne, opening day of Camp Nana is just, it's like 6 days away. That's right. Camp Nana is opening. I have two campers for the summer. That would be Alice and Benjamin, my two grandchildren, oldest grandchildren, are going to be with me in Colorado. And yes, Camp Nana opens next Monday. So so that's what's on tap. So I'll be talking to you from Steamboat Springs.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I guess you had mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to catch up. Yes.
Okay. We should really have a conversation.
We should talk more.
We should talk to each other.
We should.
Okay, Leah. Got anything going on, sister?
No, I'm writing. I'm writing. I'm trying to finish my novel by August at some point. So I'm writing away, doing a lot of research and wrapping up that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm doing. So barely leaving the house, which is fine. It's good. That's what the summers are for. So that's it. That's all I'm doing. All right, everybody. You know, you can always find us at satellitesisters.com. You can also find us at the Facebook group. We also have an official Facebook page. We posted a lot of extra interviews lately. We have a lot of things happening, you know, a lot of communique, a lot of interaction going on at that Facebook group that we have gotten a lot of new members over the last couple of weeks. So that's really fun to see. You just ask. The group is an informal group. So you just ask asked to join and you'll be approved and then you can join in on the conversation and we would love to have you there. All right. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.